When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Time now for our tournament update brought to you by Schweppes. UConn, Alabama, one side of the Final Four on the men's side, and on the other, it's Purdue and NC State. Zach Edey was brilliant yesterday. 40 points, 16 rebounds, huge block, pushes the Boilermakers into the program's first Final Four since 1980 with a six-point win over a game Tennessee team. NC State off to the Final Four for the first time since 1983 when they actually cut down the nets. This is Alabama's first ever Final Four in school history. All for the women, South Carolina and NC State are off to the Final Four. South Carolina undefeated at 36-0. It's their fourth straight Final Four. The other two spots will be decided tonight. Iowa takes on LSU, 7:15 p.m., followed by USC and UConn. Both games will be on ESPN. And that's the tournament update presented by Schweppes. Schweppes offers above-the-rim refreshment and is proud to sponsor the Big East Conference. Enjoy the madness and take a break from the hoops action with a Schweppes seltzer or Schweppes ginger ale. Can I tell you something right now? So yep. I talk about my multiple TVs and use and so many things going on. Tonight, I got Rangers Penguins, a game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. I'm going to have Mets and the Tigers. And then with a third TV, I'm going to have it locked into Iowa and LSU. That's 7:15. That game is on ESPN. I'm really looking forward to that basketball game.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, the women's basketball tonight, period, is going to be great.
It is going to be great. But listen, of all the draws in all of college basketball, is
Caitlin Clark.
She's absolutely a must-watch.
Yeah, she is. I would argue she's the face of college basketball.
So you would argue that she is, okay, over Zach Edey?
Yeah.
Duke doesn't have anybody. Carolina's, yeah. Yeah, I think that you're right. And there's something that's really intriguing about this because LSU, there was bad blood last year between LSU and Iowa. And to have this, you know, redone in an Elite Eight matchup, I think there's a lot of storylines here in this one.
Well, I think when the bracket came out, this was the matchup that you pointed to as the one that you wanted to see. Because this is what you saw last year in the national championship game. And LSU won by 17 points.
And then taunted Caitlin Clark.
Right. You had the Angel Reese thing with the John Cena, you can't see me, then the ring on the finger. It got feisty. And they've since come out and said, hey, listen, what happens, like Angel Reese was talking about the other day, what happens when I get between those lines is it's competition and I'm going to compete. I like Caitlin Clark. We get along fine. But once we get on the court, there are no friends. And we're going to go after it. And then you got the Kim Mulkey part of this whole thing. Like, this is one of those ones, like I said, when you saw the bracket come out, you said, all right, I can't wait to watch Iowa try to get their revenge on LSU.
Yeah. Now, I want to see Caitlin Clark go on as far as possible. Are you with me? You're rooting for, and of course,
yes.
This game's on ESPN tonight, 7:15. You're rooting for Iowa tonight?
Well, a couple things. You got to remember, yes, I love Caitlin Clark, and I think she's must-watch television, and also my mother-in-law, the great Deb, is from Iowa.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How do you hold something like that away from
me? I've told you she's from Iowa before.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
RJ, did you know that his mother-in-law's from Iowa?
I did not, but I could see where it wouldn't really come up in conversation.
Well, no, I think when your mother-in-law is from like a foreign land like Iowa, you bring that in every once in a while.
Foreign land.
Well, I mean, Iowa's as well as you're saying your mother-in-law's from Australia.
No.
Nobody knows anybody from Iowa.
No, that's not even close. Well, good day, mate. I've told you. I've had to tell you that before.
I don't think so.
I had to.
RJ feels like he hasn't been told. Raymond, did you know that the mother-in-law was from Iowa?
No idea.
No, nobody knew.
Oh, my bad. I thought I had said it before. Yeah, she's from Iowa. That's where Doc and Deb met when he was in Iowa.
They met in Iowa.
In Iowa, yeah.
Have you ever been to Iowa?
I have, yes. I play hockey in Iowa, yep.
Oh, that's nice. So, yeah, we're I think we can agree we're all rooting for Iowa in this game tonight. And this is not – because I've watched Iowa the entire way through the tournament. Tonight's a little more special because tonight is that can they get redemption from what happened to them last year.
Right. But it has – but this is not just – the beauty of this game is that it has – the fact that it was a game we saw in the national championship that LSU won. I mean, they won by 17. But you also have the storyline of the bad blood and kind of the going back and forth,
that's
which
right.
makes this even spicier tonight.
That's right. So 7:15 tonight, ESPN, and then you got UConn after that, and UConn beat Duke. By the way,
yeah, you got Beckers versus Juju tonight,
which is quite
Juju
quite
Watkins
the
is freaking
she's
awesome,
amazing,
dude. She is.
She really.
She's
is.
Gonna be the story of. She'll be the story of college
starting
college
next
basketball.
Season.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree. Let's go to Peter in Queens. Good morning, Peter. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, beautiful people. Dave, I've got to lift you up to tear you down. Uh-oh. The show is exponentially better when you're here, so welcome back. But RJ needs to announce. I listen to the show daily. I don't know John well enough that I need to hear it's John the boss. I'm sorry. I got to side with RJ on this. It's got to be said every time.
You listen to the show daily and didn't know John was the boss?
No idea. Didn't even know who he was.
Well, I find that very
I don't think you speak of him that often.
We speak of him all the time.
We had him on the show not too
long
ago.
Not as a boss.
All right, well, now you know. I guess we'll have to be better.
All right.
RJ, maybe you have – thanks for the call, Peter. Maybe you got something here that when you say John the boss, maybe there are people that are like, oh, I wonder who John is. Oh, he's the boss.
John the boss, co-worker.
Right.
Yeah, John also doesn't believe, Dave, just to clarify why he doesn't believe in the between the 20s.
Yeah.
Said midfield is like foreplay for him.
See, here's the difference between John and I.
No real interest.
I love the foreplay.
Yeah, you're like the sting of the NFL. You're like sting of the NFL.
That's right. Give me 9 hours of it. John just wants the go to the finish line.
Right.
Is what he's looking for. And who is that, RJ? Who are we talking about?
John, our boss, comma, coworker.
That's right.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you know what's a great recipe? Pumpkin pie and whipped cream. And the man that loves it more than anybody that walks the earth is also our NFL draft insider to the stars, the great Mel Kiper Jr. Hi, Mel. How are you?
I am good, guys. How you been?
We're great. We've heard some very troubling news that we have to get to right now before we even get to any of the draft stuff. You can't find pumpkin pie around you anymore to eat with our whipped cream?
No. Actually, went up for Easter to Lauren and Alex's. Had some strawberry shortcakes and cheesecake and different things like that. But now pumpkin pies return usually in September. So we get a little break in the action. I probably need it, for a while. So I probably need a little break, a little more variety during the summer, more summer-type desserts. But, no, the pumpkin pie, I have to wait until football starts. Once football kicks off, when the games mean something in college football, when the regular season begins, the NFL regular season begins, that's when pumpkin pie begins.
Mel, let me ask you this, though. I mean, did you receive the shipment, correct?
We did. And luckily, there were still a couple pumpkin pies out there. It was just the end of the season. So we caught a couple at the end of the season, got me through. I think I have two of the whipped creams left in the refrigerator. I'll just have to hold out, maybe put a little more on the strawberry shortcake, stuff like that. But for right now, two left. I used the rest of them on the final couple of the season. So, yeah, we'll just have to maybe wait till September. But, hey, you never know. Maybe you'll find a straggler during the summer. Maybe they decide for 4th of July to put a couple pumpkin pies out. You never know.
Here's what I don't understand, and I got to be honest with you because I do adore you. This didn't happen last year, Mel. It feels like there's something fishy. Is your wife telling you we'll shut down the pumpkin pies? Your doctor telling you it's enough pumpkin pie? Last year, this was a non-issue last year, Mel.
Well, I didn't bring it up because I didn't want to ruin the mood a little bit. I didn't want to have you guys be wondering how I'm going to get through. It's been that way every year for the last 25, 30 years.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, this is a regular thing. So I just didn't want to be a downer. I didn't want to give you guys something to worry about. It affects your psyche moving forward. So I just didn't mention it. But, it's public knowledge now, so it's all out there. I got to wait a little bit for pumpkin pie.
All right, now, last thing, and then we'll get to the draft. If I told you Rick's wife makes the most delectable pumpkin pie known to man, and we were to figure out a way to send that to you with some whipped cream, would that change the dynamic of this relationship forever?
No, because Kim tries to make pumpkin pies all the time. They're great, they're not the ones that I get from the store. So no, Kim would be very upset if I got another pumpkin pie from somebody else making a homemade pumpkin pie when I'm only her homemade pumpkin pie. So no, nothing suffices.
So you need store-bought pumpkin pie. That's your sweet spot.
The one I like is the one I like. I'm a creature of habit.
All right, I like the Giants. Let me ask you about them, and then we'll move around the NFL draft. So. What are you thinking? Are you thinking they go offensive line? Are you thinking they go wide receiver? Or are you thinking this team makes a move and trades to move up and potentially take a quarterback?
Well, you're picking where you can get a receiver. You haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver in 6 years. You haven't had any explosive pass plays since Daniel Jones came in. You're only any elite go-to receiver. So the bottom line is, if you're looking at Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Odunze, one of those three or two of those three will be there when you pick. Take one of them. And then help your quarterback. Now, if you want to go with J.J. McCarthy, if he were there, which may not even be a factor anyway because he could be gone, then you get the heir apparent. So then you go, but you still don't have the receiver for your quarterback. So there's not going to be a Malik Nabers, Romo Odunze, and Marvin Harrison Jr. in other drafts. These are special players. They're just not just the receivers, the typical receivers you see in every draft. That's not what these guys are. Okay, these are elite special entities. They're basically, if you want to say, you could make an argument. They're the second, third, fourth best player in this draft. I have them at 3, 4, and 5 with the two quarterbacks, 1 and 2. So you're talking about picking 6. You got to get a guy in your top 3, 4. You got to get a guy up. You can't get a guy at 10, 8, 12. You're picking 6. So get a guy that belongs in that range. And it also works in unison with the key need area. I mean, come on. I mean, it should be a no-brainer. You take a wide receiver.
Mel, let's start with this. Do you think from what you've heard, that there's a real chance quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 4 in this draft?
Could be. Very easily could happen. I mean, I think the New England one's the interesting one. And I was on the phone just now with a former NFL GM about this. Does New England take Drake May or let somebody else take Drake May? I don't know the answer. Does Drake May go 2? And then Jaden Daniels would be in. I don't think you're trading out there at 3 if Jaden's there. I still think Washington's taking Jaden. But, Drake May is going to be in the discussion. But I think if it goes 1-2, Caleb and Jaden, what does New England do? Do they let Minnesota jump up there and Josh McCown, the quarterback coach, just the quarterback you coached in high school, they get that guy. They have 11 and 23, and then New England doesn't have a quarterback. Then they're looking next year at a quarterback. And what do you want to get involved? Look, Shedeur Sanders, Carson Beck. Yeah, and then you got Shador with Deion trying to figure out ways to manipulate the draft. No, do you want to get involved? So to me, you take the quarterback. Now, if you don't like Drake, you got J.J. McCarthy there. So you're telling me New England, who desperately needs a quarterback in the AFC, isn't going to take either Drake or J.J. Or trade off of there and take Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix. I got to believe somehow, some way, the Patriots come out of this first round with a quarterback. I just don't know if it is definitely at three, but it could be. And then at four, is Arizona trade out? But if they trade out to 11, they lose one of those three receivers, which they need as desperately as the Giants do. So that's where I think you got to weigh what we get back in return in terms of building our roster through draft choices, or do we want that one elite receiver, which would be like a Larry Fitzgerald type in Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Mel Kiper Jr. with us, 98.7 ESPN. Now, Mel, you talk about New England desperate for a quarterback. I think I've heard you before. I think you've said it with us, actually. You don't think the Giants are desperate for a quarterback, do you?
I like Daniel Jones. I'm more loyal, and I'm more into developing and being patient and realizing that the criticism of quarterbacks is incredibly unfair. There's a lot that goes into playing quarterback in this league, talking about an offensive line, a running game, and the receivers, and continuity with the coaching staff, with the system. There's so many things that factor into whether a quarterback emerges or he's called a bust and a disappointment, or we're ready to just reset the clock or kick him to the curb or whatever. So, again, circumstances a lot of times impact how quarterbacks are in this league. So I'm not giving up on a guy who's still young and was 2 years ago thought to be the guy. And he got hurt, and he had played with a team that had a lot of issues. So, then my thing is, who's better? Who in this draft could be an improvement? And it's always the next best thing. Okay, we're always like, who's the next best guy coming? It doesn't mean they're going to be that great. We don't know these college kids are going to be great. We don't know that. Okay, we don't know. Now, maybe it is a Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Tua draft where all three of them are really good. Burrow's great, right? Tua's good, and Herbert could be great. He's not great yet. He's good. He'll see if we can be great, and finishing off games in the fourth quarter will tell us that this year with Harbaugh. But the bottom line is, what are we getting with J.J. McCarthy at six? If they say, let's say six, he's there. Do you want J.J. McCarthy, or do you want Malik Nabers or Romo Dunze or Marvin Harrison Jr.? I mean, that's what you got to weigh. Do you want to help Daniel Jones or draft the quarterback that's here, apparent, who we don't even know if he'll be better than Daniel Jones? So at that point, I'm taking the wide receiver.
Mel, let me ask you this, because I think there's a lot of people, yourself included, that this year's draft is wide receiver, there's a lot of talent. Offensive line, there's a lot of talent. What's the drop-off for you from those three that you just mentioned and then the other wide receivers that are supposed to be pretty good in this draft?
Well, wide receiver is clearly the best. I mean, offensive line is not that deep after the top group. I mean, you can get into the third round, some guys, but the wide receiver position, you go into the fourth, fifth round. Tez Walker at North Carolina, had he gone back, would have probably been a first-round pick. He's not going to be a late two, early three, because he had a rough Senior Bowl week and didn't play in the first four games, transferring into North Carolina. There's going to be guys like that. Malachi Corley at Western Kentucky is going to be a mid-two probably, in the early to mid-two. So you're going to get receivers in this draft. The offensive line, you got to be, with the Fisher kid at Notre Dame, Blake Fisher at Notre Dame, could be a good third-round pick. Yeah, coming out a little early. To me, I'm going to see where Roger Rosengarten from Washington goes. I like him. Some people are a little sketchy. He struggled in the national title game with the penalties, but he played a hell of a year at right tackle. So I like Roger Rosengarten. To go back to McCarthy, guys, I have McCarthy ran at 15, 14, 15 point up from 21. He's not six. He's not five. He's not four. That's what I'm you got to trust your board. I've moved McCarthy up, but I'm as far up as I'm going to go at 14, 15. You're picking six. I understand he's a quarterback, but are you going to take the 15th, 14th best player? And I'm not saying they have him there. I'm saying for me, guys, I can't justify that. I can justify the third, fourth pick. That's what you want. Third, fourth guy on your board going six, not the 15th guy. That's why you put these guys on a board and you rate players and you spend all that time doing it for a reason, to protect you from overdrafting a quarterback.
How close do you have Bo Nix and Michael Penix to J.J. McCarthy?
They're down just a little bit. I mean, Nix and Penix are both very similar, and they transferred and they kind of hit the jackpot, but they weren't great before that. And Penix had those injuries in Indiana. And Penix, despite running that 4.58 and testing out really well athletically, needs a clean pocket. He's not an off-platform thrower. So, and Bo had two outstanding years in a very quarterback-friendly offense. doesn't have the big arm. I said over the last 3 weeks, I think maybe Sean Payton sees a little Drew Brees in him. Drew Brees didn't go in the first round, guys. He was the first pick in the second round because he didn't have the big arm. He was only 6'5". Bo Nix is 6'2", doesn't have the big arm either, and Bo Nix has the same hand size as Drew Brees did, and it's the same kind of professional. He's a veteran. He's 24. He processes. He's smart. All the things that Drew Brees, maybe Sean Payton sees a little bit of that. Michael Penix Jr. may have over the last couple months worked his way into the first round after that disappointing performance in the national title game. So maybe Penix Jr. somehow gets traded back into to get. Maybe a team goes back into the late first round and gets him. Maybe Minnesota or Denver look at Penix Jr. So to answer the question, I think teams have a gap there. I have, say McCarthy at 15. I have Nix and Penix in that 26 to 28 area. So there's a gap. But it's not not like we're talking about a third-round guy here. Both those guys are graded out as late ones, but maybe they go a little bit higher than that.
The great Mel Kiper joins us here in the show. Mel, Jets at 10. What do you think they end up doing? If you were the Jets, what would you do?
Well, for what they've done so far, guys, I think it makes sense to get out of there. You're going to have teams trying to get ahead. They're in a great spot. They're ahead of Minnesota and Denver right now. So if they can, if teams want to get that quarterback, they can go up there and get him. So, that 10. So if somebody wants to jump up into that mix, they can do it. We have to see what the Raiders are going to do, some other teams down there. So, again, I think that's a pick to move. There's going to be other teams looking to move up to get other players. One of those corners that they love. They love Quinyon Mitchell. Get up there to 10, the cornerback from Toledo, right? If you love the next receiver, say a receiver drops a little bit. Say Odunze drops or whatever. Then you might go up. Or somebody loves my Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU or Xavier Worthy out of Texas, who ran 4.21. I think getting out of there and still getting a right tackle moving down or getting a, you talk about what they need. What do they desperate? Right, a receiving entity, okay? Suppose Brock Bowers is still there, and they say, well, we can drop a little bit and maybe get Brock. We can drop a little bit and still get J.C. Latham from Alabama or Tali Fuaga from Oregon State. I think moving off of 10 and trying to recover, you talk about getting back second-round pick, right? Getting back that draft choice is going to be really important to them. So I would say moving off of 10 would be a great opportunity if it's provided.
Mel, how active do you think we're going to be trade-wise when we get to the first round of this draft? Do you think it's going to be a very busy trade night, April 25th?
It could be interesting at the top. If those quarterbacks are going to be, say, mixed opinion on, and these teams feel like we can get out of there, or Arizona feels like we can get out of there, we need help at a lot of places, we're not going to take a receiver, and the receiver depth is great, it's going to be interesting. 3 and 4 are going to be fun to see what happens there. 5 with the Chargers, you got to believe they would like to get out. They would love to get a right tackle or a wide receiver, but they can be thinking along the same lines as the Jets. Hey, we can move down and still get one. And I'm sure the Chargers at 5 feel like, hey, if we can move down a little bit and still get a Latham or Fuaga, same type of thing. They got to be believing the same type of thing as the Jets are. Okay, Bowers has to be in the discussion for them, too. And I'm anxious to see where Brock goes. Is Brock there at 10? If he is, do you pass on him and then hope we can get him on a trade down? I think Brock Bowers is going to be a fun player to see where he comes off the board because, guys, he'll be special in the NFL, but people say, well, he's a tight end. He doesn't have the value. That's a bunch of baloney. I mean, this guy you can move all over the place and do a lot of things with. So I think in terms of value, he may be one of the better picks in the first round.
Mel, let me ask you this, because I saw you on with Mike Tannenbaum, and it looked like you wanted to get him drug tested for some of his mock draft opinions. I think you had Marvin Harrison Jr. going 9th to the Bears. So the Bears would get Caleb at 1 and Marvin Harrison Jr. at 9, which, I mean, Ryan Poles, they should go right into the Hall of Fame if that happens. But I've heard different opinions about the wide receivers, and you mentioned you have those three really highly rated. Are you a Marvin Harrison Jr. guy, or are you a Malik Nabers guy?
I like them. I like all three of them. I have Harrison. I've stuck with Harrison. Like I said, I'm probably loyal to a fault on some of these guys. I didn't see any reason to not be. He's a contested catch guy. He's got a great work ethic, like his dad did. In terms of Marvin Harrison Jr., he's still my number one receiver. Now, I understand Nabers being number one with some teams because he's explosive. He's electrifying. He had a phenomenal year. He's a great baller. I mean, his kid loves the game. He plays through injury, does everything. He's explosive. Like I said, this kid is phenomenal. And Romo Odunze, yes, man, he had more contested catches than Marvin did. I mean, Romo Odunze is silky smooth, deceptive, consistent, reliable. Are you kidding me? All three. I said the other day on a show, we were trying to say, which one? You put all three in a hat and pick one. Put them all three in a hat and pick one. I don't think you're going to go wrong with those three. I might be in 5 years from now, you see where I am. You can play this back for me, guys, in 5 years and see if I'm right. I think you put all three in a hat, pick one, and you'll be daggone happy with what you get.
All right, Mel, listen, it's always a pleasure. Let's do this again very soon. We got to get to the bottom of this pumpkin pie situation, but we certainly appreciate you, and we'll talk to you hopefully next week.
I would stress out about it, guys. I'm becoming a strawberry shortcake cheesecake lover, so maybe that's my route to get through. Maybe when we come to September, I may not even have any more interest in pumpkin pie.
Wow. I thought it had a first-round grade.
Maybe we'll kick them to pumpkin pie to the curb like we kick quarterbacks to the curb in the NFL.
Maybe we will. Mel, you're the best. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys. Enjoy it.
All right. There you have it. That is one Mel Kiper Jr. A lot of fast-flowing information from him, huh?
Well, he knows, dude. His brain, the amount of stuff that he knows is incredible.
He really is remarkable.
I can't believe he's got pumpkin pie fatigue.
I never thought I'd hear that.
Sounds like he's all set with the pumpkin pie.
Yeah,
right now.
Feels like he's had enough pumpkin pie. Like he's filled his life quota and he's moving on to the cheesecake and the strawberry shortcake.
Wow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Is this Who's the Boss?
You get it.
Yeah, John Winthrop is, as you know, the boss, the big boss man. Who's the boss? Tony Danza, Catherine Helmand, Alyssa Milano, Danny Pintoro.
See how many you can name. Keep going.
I forget the main stars, the mom, Catherine Hellman's daughter. Oh, I can't remember now. I think she's like a big Broadway actress now.
You guys
have to remember who's the
boss.
This
is when I was telling you the guy I played with was dating Alyssa Milano. Was the Who's the Boss time.
Right. Yeah. Judith Light, that's her name.
There you go.
I don't think there are any other regulars on that show.
You're like the Mel Kiper of naming people from shows or movies.
Yeah. Danza was obviously Tony Danza, was Tony Maselli. Judith Light played Angela Bauer. Alyssa Milano was every, you know, kid's crush my era, was Samantha Maselli. Danny Pintoro.
I like Topanga. Raymond, did you like Topanga?
Loved her.
That was
still love her.
That was not that show, though. That was
Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World. That was a good show, too.
Oh, Topanga.
I like Boy Meets World also. You Kelly like Kapowski. Topanga more than Alyssa Milano, huh?
Yes. Yep.
100%.
Kelly Kapowski was my favorite.
Kelly Kapowski was like, you know, the first one everyone saw, but Topanga.
Oh, that was Lisa, Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Correct.
Listen, Lisa Turtle was a smoke show, too.
Don't sleep on Lisa Turtle. Have you seen Lisa Turtle?
I have.
It's not great.
Was.
That's what I'm saying.
And then Elizabeth Berkley, and then she did that sexy movie.
Oh, yeah. Striptease.
Yeah. No, not Striptease.
No, it wasn't Striptease. It was Show.
Showgirls. Yes. Yeah. Those are my ladies. Yes. All right, Raymond, there you have it. So, Mel, see, what disturbs me a little bit with what Mel says is he's like, the Giants just want to move on from Daniel Jones. They haven't given enough trial to Daniel Jones. Like, he's been here for years, and he's been hurt numerous times, and maybe he hasn't, and he hasn't. Not maybe. He hasn't had the offensive line, and he hasn't had the receiving core, but I think I'm at the point where I'm pretty confident Daniel Jones is not the guy.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're confident.
Right.
Right. Or if Mel's confident. I mean, it depends on what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll think, because their jobs will be, I mean, whether or not they keep their jobs is going to be dependent on who they end up having as their starting quarterback. If they decide that Daniel Jones is the guy and he gets hurt again and doesn't play well, they're not going to have jobs. Right? I mean, if you decide I'm not going to take a quarterback, this whole thing, you know, talking about how much we want a quarterback, kind of been a little bit of a smokescreen because we want Malik Nabers, whoever it is, because we want to give Daniel Jones a legitimate wide receiving threat
right.
to get the best out of him, and that doesn't work out, and Daniel Jones can't play. Good luck keeping your job.
Well, I don't think you're going to. I think if you're the – see, and we've talked about this numerous times, and we will as the season approaches. If you're the Giants and you stick with Daniel Jones, the pressure – and you draft Malik Nabers – and now you've fixed the offensive line, the pressure really ratchets up on Brian Daboll, I would think.
Right. You're not buying yourself any time. If you draft a quarterback, you're buying yourself some time because there will still be the hope from people that, you know, we still have the next quarterback waiting in the wing. I think the other thing, too, with this whole thing is that Mel doesn't take into account when he answers this question is you're going into year six and the amount of money that you're paying Daniel Jones. And the timelines don't match up right now. For where the Giants are at in this, you know, rebuilding that they're doing and how much they're paying their quarterback, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense. And you are nowhere near competing to win a championship. So and again, if Jones was terrific, that's one thing. He's not terrific. He's often injured. He's shown you that he's a middle of the road quarterback who has had moments of really good play, but this is a quarterback rich draft, and it just makes sense to me for the Giants to move in a different direction.
And you have the sixth pick.
And you have the sixth pick. That's right. And unfortunately, you don't have the third or fourth, where this would be a much easier situation. All right. We'll break. We'll come back. Yankees, unbelievable weekend. Mets, very believable weekend. 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. And now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit truegreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring that you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit truegreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's truegreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.